All right, guys, welcome back. So today we are going to be talking about trip hop, which is the fusion of psychedelic and hip hop music, creating the title trip hop. Trip hop originated in Bristol in the late 80s and early 90s and had its main mainstream breakthrough after a 1994 Mixmag article that used the term to describe DJ Shadow's song Instrumental Influx, as well as a generally trending sound in UK clubs at the time. So trip hop is characterized by a lot of sampling, as well as a dark and melancholic energy using slow and heavy beats, as well as a lot of Jamaican and reggae influences as seen in quite a lot of British hip hop, especially in the 90s. A way to describe trip hop to someone who isn't totally familiar with it, someone like me, as I didn't really listen to a lot of trip hop until we were researching for this episode, is to compare it to Bjork's music, who was involved in the scene at the time. When I was first listening to trip hop, I definitely thought, oh, this sounds a lot like Bjork's debut, which we'll get into a little bit more later, but was connected to trip hop artists at the time as she was dating Tricky from Massive Attack. Trip hop has had a huge influence on hip hop, electronic, and other forms of alternative music. And today we're going to dive into what that means and what that sounds like. We're going to take a listen to Come to Me by Bjork, and then we'll see you after the break.
Okay, so I'll be talking about Massive Attack. So Massive Attack emerged from the ashes of the Wild Bunch DJ Collective in the late 80s in Bristol as a collaboration between Robert 3D Del Naya, Grant Daddy G. Marshall, Andrew Mushroom Vowels, and Adrian Tricky Thaws, someone who also independently became a big player in the genre and who Lisa will talk about later. They released their first single in 1990 called Daydreaming with help from R&B vocalist Sharon Nelson, which got them signed off. Actually, the demo for that got them signed off with Circa Records. It wasn't like a tremendous commercial success, but it was extremely well received, with hits like Unfinished Sympathy and Safe from Harm hitting the charts in the UK. Around this time, they also shortened their name from Massive Attack to just Massive to avoid association with the Gulf War invasion of Iraq, which has happened at this time. The first invasion, Desert Storm. This was mostly because they were like a new and emerging group at that time, and they weren't really well known, because as far as I know, they didn't change it again for the second invasion in 2003. But I mean, they weren't happy with it either still, so, because especially Robert Del Naya, he would go on to do a lot of anti-war promotionals with Damon Albarn from Blur and Gorillaz. I think they ended up being called a two-man army because they didn't get any support from any of the other artists, and they kind of got shunned, which kind of sucks. But yeah, they would pay out of pocket for like big, like full-page enemy ads against the war. But yeah, pretty neat. Del Naya has been really on top of like using the Massive Attack name for like fundraising and like political activism. I think he was like a punk growing up and a big graffiti artist before he got into music. So you can kind of see the progression there. I think Banksy said that Del Naya was a big inspiration for him to start graffiti. So that's pretty neat. I mean, I think in terms of the whole Bristol scene in general, though, like with the Wild Bunch and everyone, a lot of these trip-hop artists grew up like on punk culture under Margaret Thatcher. I mean, they name-drop her like a couple times in Daydreaming, their first track. And you can sort of see how it like seeps into like their attitude and the music and stuff. I mean, it's like a pretty anarchic genre. It's like a fusion of so many things, like, you know, jazz, funk, reggae, hip hop from America and stuff. So it's just, yeah. Back to the chronology, Massive Attack would drop their second album, Protection, in 94 under their full name, Massive Attack again. This would incorporate more ambient and meditative elements. And around this time, they also did some collabs with Garbage and Madonna, which is exciting. Are any of you guys going to see Garbage?
I didn't know they were coming here.
Even. I think I will have to pick up tickets, maybe. But it's, like, kind of expensive. Anyways, yeah, so in 98, they released Mezzanine with help from Elizabeth Fraser from Cocteau Twins. This one's a banger, guys. This album would become their most successful ones with notable hits such as Teardrop and Angel.
Can we talk about Teardrop?
Teardrop? The song. Yeah.
Can we tell
a
story?
My roommate, he loves the song Teardrop. And it's not because he loves trip-hop. It's because it's the intro song to House MD for a lot of their seasons. Like, my roommate watched a lot of House. Like, every time I'd go into the living room, he'd just be sitting there watching House. And then when we first moved our couch in, we would listen. We just listened to Teardrop. We just sat there because that was the only song.
That was the only song you guys had in common.
Exactly, on the big speaker. But yeah, they had notable hits off of this album include Teardrop and Angel, and it kind of marked the group's change to a more darker, more dramatic sound. I think trip-hop was just kind of, like, before that, it was just kind of, like, it was a bit more upbeat-ish, kind of. But, yeah. In 2003, they released their fourth work, 100th Window, which they did completely without sampling. So they did everything from scratch, followed by Heligoland in 2010, which has been their last full album so far. But yeah, they stayed pretty on point with the genre over the years. I think they've kind of embraced the whole trip-hop label now. They used to hate it because they thought it felt limiting at the time, which I think is a pretty common theme with just like a lot of like genres and artists. They sort of embrace it afterwards. But I mean, especially Massive Attack, I mean, they were kind of like the pioneers. You know, they wrote The Scroll, so they could have like steered that genre in any direction they wanted. So I'd love to play a bunch of stuff, but I think I only have time to play like one track. So I'm going to play Safe from Harm off of Blue Lines by Massive Attack. I hope you enjoy.
You.
Mama,
All right, welcome back, everyone. Now I'm going to get into Adrian Thaws, a.k.a. Tricky. So he's already been mentioned a couple times throughout the episode because he was a major figure in the Bristol underground scene during the early beginnings and the peak of trip hop. He was an early member of the group Massive Attack from back when they were still known as the Wild Bunch. However, he left the group following the success of his debut album, Maxin K. And then also, as Ruby mentioned earlier, he dated Bjork. And apparently he was not a very good boyfriend, but I'm not going to get into that. Boo. But they did make some really good music together, and he inspired her album debut. So his music has the same slow tempo, bass heavy, trip hop sound, but his music is kind of unique for its distinctly like dark and layered sound that creates this almost unsettling atmosphere. And it sounds almost like the music doesn't want to play, but the tempo is being dragged, like forcibly dragged along. And a producer he worked with, I think it was a producer, but somebody he worked with mentioned that it was almost like he didn't even know anything about music theory or how to write a song, but somehow he makes his music work. And I think it's very tricky, if you guys caught that joke. I think
that
it's very,
so funny.
Wow. I think it's very tricky to make music like this sound good, but somehow he does it, and he was doing something that nobody else was doing in the trip-hop scene at the time. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Martina Topley-Bird. She was the female vocalist on Tricky's debut album, and she was only around 18 or 19 years old when she worked with him on this, and she also worked with him on some of his later albums as well. But she was a very big figure in the trip-hop scene, but she's just not as heavily mentioned as some of the other artists we've talked about. But she's worked with a lot of influential artists and bands, even outside of trip-hop, such as the Gorillaz, Massive Attack, and also Diplo for some reason.
Wow.
And she also has her own releases, which are critically praised, although not as famously recognized as her trip-hop peers. So now I'm going to play just one song because trip hop songs are really, really long for some reason.
Yeah.
But I will play Christian Sands by Tricky after this ad. See you guys later.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh, yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town. But don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney Kings in Burnaby or New Westminster.
If the news are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
Wait around till I take off my makeup.
Here we go again, I need another one. Her name is, she looks at me, says I'm the only one.
So now we're going to talk a bit about Portishead. They formed in 1991 in Bristol, which, as we mentioned, was a trip-hop hotspot. Their sound is very, like, romantic and dramatic and dark, and is often compared to spy movie soundtracks.
I don't know why that was funny.
But it's, like, complemented by the lead singer's, Beth Gibbons, very gentle yet soulful voice. The band formed when Jeff Barrow was working at a studio known for local trip-hop artists, including Massive Attack, which we talked about earlier, met Beth Gibbons, and they named their band Portishead after a nearby town. Their debut album, Dummy, was released in 1994 and features Glory Box, which is a pretty popular song, I think, especially right now, and was met with a lot of praise, both commercially and from critics. Sour Times was also on Dummy and sampled music from the Mission Impossible TV show soundtrack. So Dummy was recorded very interestingly. Like, the drum beats on Dummy were recorded, and Barrow would take the vinyl recording of the beat and purposely toss and wreck it around a bit to give it that sort of crackly and altered sound. And through this process, Barrow also found inspiration in John Barry's music, who composed music for the James Bond films. On theme with their sound, the group also released a short spy movie film in 1994 called To Kill a Dead Man, and it features the band members as actors and, of course, music produced by Portishead.
The band then released their self-titled album, Portishead, in 1997, which has the same spy movie-esque sound. But later they went on a hiatus until releasing their third album in 2008, titled Third. So now we're going to play Sour Times by Portishead, followed by Humming by Portishead.
Thank you. Is it all as it seems? So unresolved, so unredeemed. It's been so
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us again on Sonic Spill as we dove into trip hop. We are here today recording at CITR 101.9 FM on the unceded territories of the Musqueam people. To round off our episode on trip hop, we're going to take a listen to a couple more songs. Here's Postmodern Sleaze by Sneaker Pimps and Superheroes by Estero.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening.
Picture this. You're walking into your local record store and start skimming the many records until you find an album that you recognize. You pick out the album, check the track list, and maybe only recognize a couple songs. Now you have to listen to the whole album, right? Well, why not do it together? On Discali, every show runs you through an entire album and breaks down key parts and songs that make up an album's aesthetic, art, and story. I'm your host, Oliver, and join me every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. in talking about all things music. Want to discover more albums, artists, record pressings, and concerts? I got you. That's every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., so tune in to Discali to discover different discographies and add to the musical discourse.
Supplies for hormone injections and safer substance use are now available for free from AMS SASC and peer support. Folks can order supplies online or drop by during office hours to access these resources. Confidential forms and additional information can be found on their website, www.amssasc.ca, or you can drop by either office located on the third floor of the Nest. This initiative is part of the SASC and Peer Support's commitment to providing equitable access to harm reduction supplies and can be accessed by anyone in the community.
I'ma keep on talking about it because it's true for me.
Hi, this is Audie from Broken Bones, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And all I'm going to say to you is, fuck off and die.
With people, and I fill my head with You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Sakhuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Astail.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.